assignment for this week is entitled 16 Gifts. The reading is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hope that you'll bear with me today. Been battling a cold like many of you have. And if I have to stop and blow my nose, I hope that you'll pardon me. It's not very polite, but sometimes you just have to do what you have to do. But we're glad that you're with us today. We've been talking about gifts given us by God. And if you notice the title of the sermon today, it's called 16 Gifts. And comment was made after Bible class today, you mean there are only 16 gifts? No. In fact, what we're going to do today is just touch on 16 chapters in the book of Romans. There's 16 chapters in Romans, and so what I thought we would do is just look at a gift from each chapter. And then we can come back next week, and we can go through Romans 1 through 16 and look at a different gift from each chapter. And then the week after that, we could come back and on and on and on and on it goes. There's just so many gifts God gives us. Please be honest with yourself. I'm including myself in this too. When someone out of the blue gives you a magnificent gift, how do you feel? I mean, probably we would say, I feel great. But stop and think about it. Really? If someone just out of the blue comes to you and gives you a magnificent gift, how do you feel? For some of us, we would feel, no, you can't give me that. That's just too good. It's just, what? No, I can't take that. And if you were here last week, you remember how we started the sermon. That a visiting minister came to a church and he told various stories and so forth. And after the series, a young girl came to this visiting minister and said, I like you and I like what you said. I made a gift for you. And it was a beautiful pendant. And the minister said, oh, honey, it's a beautiful gift, but I can't take the gift. It's too beautiful. You keep it. And she was disheartened and disappointed because she made it for him. And the minister of that church whispered to the visiting minister, you don't understand. When you say no to her gift, she thinks in her heart you're saying no to her as a person. When you reject her gift, she feels like you're rejecting her. How does God feel when he gives us everything that we can ask or imagine? Now to you, he says, who are in Christ Jesus, he has given us more than we can possibly count. How does God feel when we say, oh, no, that's it. No. I mean, God, you can't give me all that. That's who God is. He just pours himself out into our lives. So what have we noticed so far? Let me just name a couple of gifts that we've talked about in this preaching series. Well, God gives us himself, free gift. And he gives us Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us himself. The Holy Spirit gives himself to us. We have the gift of righteousness, all because of Christ. We have the gift of justification, all because of Christ. We have the gift of reconciliation. We have the gift of baptism. And I wonder what your church tradition has been like, but have you ever thought of baptism as a gift, as opposed to you better do this or else? Or do we receive it as a gift? And I know we've talked about this in the past a little bit, but it's amazing to me that when this gift has been given on Pentecost, 3,000 people accepted the gift and were baptized. It doesn't talk about how many people said, oh, no, I can't do that. That's too good a gift, and walked away. There may have been. But then as the story goes on, we see whole families being baptized, entire households being baptized. When Cornelius was presented with the gospel, Cornelius and all his household were baptized. And then Lydia and all her household were baptized. And then Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and all his family were baptized. The Philippian jailer and all his household were baptized. Stephanus and all his household were baptized. They received the gift of baptism as a gift. You know what else is a gift? Communion. Do we see it as something we must do? And I guess for me, this is how the difference. Do I take communion or do I receive it? I receive Christ. Someone says, well, but Christ is always living in you. Yeah, yeah. But what communion is a whisper of God to us. Here's the gift of Jesus. Here is your righteousness. Here is your justification. Here is your sanctification, which we looked at last week, growing and maturing in Christ. It's a gift. I will help you to mature and grow in Christ. I will help you. It's my gift. So the gifts just keep on coming. What I want to do today very quickly, and if you want to follow on the screen, you can. My version may be a little different, but I think it's really, really close. I just want to look at 16 chapters. I think there was a movie a number of years ago starring Molly Ringwald called 16 Candles. And it's the story, you can go ahead and Google that movie if you want. But I thought, here, let's just take a look at 16 chapters, take a look at a gift in each chapter. First of all, the gift of salvation. So you want to follow in your Bible, you can. If you want to follow on PowerPoint, you can. So in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, he says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Now, a silly, silly question, but I'd appreciate a response by raising your hand if you believe it. How many of us believe that God wants to give us the gift? Raise your hand. Okay. So here it is. How ashamed are you of this gift? Not at all. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation. It brings, it's a gift, brings salvation to everyone who believes. Well, we believe. First of all, to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in this gospel, the gift of righteousness of God is revealed. God being a gift, righteousness being a gift. A righteousness that is by what? Have you ever thought of faith as being a gift? Do you think we do this all on our own? Or is it God's Holy Spirit whispering to us continually? How many of us remember the day that we accepted Christ? We knew we had to. Not because we were frightened, but because it's this connection of God giving us himself. Okay, I got 16 chapters, so I got to quit preaching and get through this. Anyway, it's a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. The righteous will live by faith. Righteousness a gift, faith a gift. Chapter 2, let's take a look in verse 7. This wonderful gift of, verse 7, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Now, stop and think about this for a moment. Do we think eternal life happens after we're dead? Or has eternal life happened even before we were born? God knew us before we were born. He knew the exact time and date of which we would be born. Eternal life is a life that makes sense today, tomorrow, and forever. It's eternal. Our life is eternal. It's a gift. The gift of God. God is eternal. I don't know why we struggle sometimes thinking that we're not. We are a gift given to us by God, and it is eternal as we give ourselves to him. How's that for a gift? And then looking in chapter 3, we've touched on this already, but just a little bit. Chapter 3, verses 22 and through 24, talks about righteousness. And it says this, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Righteousness, justification, atonement, and all those other words. These are all gifts given us by God. And then in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, is a quote from Old Testament. I have to tell you a little story. I was always so afraid of the Old Testament. It just seemed like it was so rigorous and so difficult, and it was so rigid. It just seemed like everybody in the Old Testament was in a bad mood all the time. And maybe it was because of the preacher I was listening to. I don't know. But it just, for years, I just seemed like it's too frightening. It's just too frightening. But now you go back and I read the Old Testament and you go, there are some pretty hard things to deal with. But my goodness, there's such beauty. There's such tenderness. There's so many love stories that are so profound that symbolize the love that God has for us as a gift. Forgiveness that is poured out by God over and over and over again, even before Christ came. The gift of forgiveness is a demonstration of God himself. And so Paul, talking about being justified in righteousness, he says this in Romans 4, verses 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those who sin in the Lord will. You want to read this out loud with me? Will. What was that? Will. Do we really believe that? For those of us who believe, he will never count us. He will never count against us. Never count against us. Well, if we're parents, we get it. We get it. Because we were kids. And for many of us, we're very grateful that we had parents that would maybe spank us and then hold on to us and love us. God corrects us sometimes, but he never turns his back on us because we come from him. We are his gift. He gives us himself as a gift. Isn't that profound? How do we even talk about this? That even comes close to the power of the gifts that God gives us. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those who sin. The Lord will never count against them. And then chapter 5, one of the beautiful passages, and I know I'm saying this about almost every passage, but it's true. So Paul is talking about peace and hope and love and the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 5, he says, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So we have God's love being poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit who lives in us as a gift from God. Bing, bing, bing. Gift, 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 gift. All the way through this. So what Paul is trying to say to us 2,000 years later, after writing this letter, is gift upon gift upon gift. If we ever feel like we don't have the power, it's often because we're relying on ourselves, as opposed to just giving ourselves to God. God, you've given us these gifts. Thank you. Let me rest beside you for a while. One of the great gifts that we can give ourselves is to just stop, which is difficult to do in our society. And I know this may sound strange, but I'm really serious. I think one of the great gifts we can do is to stop what we're doing whenever and sit down by herself and picture God sitting beside us. Because he is. And just talk to him. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Prayers are great. And sometimes prayers are set prayers, or sometimes it's been, oh my goodness, I haven't talked to God in 2 days. I better hurry up and do that because I've got something to do. We're all that way sometimes. But real prayer sometimes is just sitting, sometimes not saying anything, but knowing he's right there. The person you love the most, do you have to talk to her or him all the time? Isn't it, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. And that's God saying over and over and over again, here I am. And then chapter 6, another beautiful, beautiful word that's just too much to comprehend is this word of grace. 14 says, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. And I don't even know how you define that word. But it's basically, here's all the gifts from God. Just receive it and believe it. You don't have to earn it. But when we say no to God's gifts, I don't know if you did this or not, but when I was telling that story about that little girl who worked hard to make this beautiful little pendant for this visiting minister, and he said no to that, he said it kindly, but he thought, for some reason, he had to say no, you keep it. Can you imagine, could you put yourself, even for those who are men, can we put ourselves in her shoes? She made it for him, and he said no. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong where he would say no? Nothing. So when God's giving us these gifts, I wonder sometimes if God ever thinks, what did I ever do wrong where they won't take it? No, it's himself. It's the giving from the heart. And through Romans, he's reminding this of this. And then in chapter 7, even though it's not there, to me, it's just the dark cloud is removed. In chapter 7 and verse 6, it says this, but now by dying to once bound us, you know, wrapped us up tight so we couldn't really enjoy our faith. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we live in the new way of the Spirit and not that old way of the written code where it's legal, legal, legal. No, no, it's set free. God's Spirit living in us. And then chapter 8 and verse 11 talks about God, talks about Jesus, talks about the resurrection, talks about Christ's resurrection, talks about our resurrections. How many gifts were those in a row? And if the Holy Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, and we've already seen that he's living in us, and if the Holy Spirit of God, who has been given to us as a gift, who raised Jesus from the dead, who is a gift to us, is living in you, and he is, then God, who raised Christ from the dead, which he did, will also live in your mortal bodies because of his Spirit, whom we have as a gift, who lives in you, a gift. Gift, 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 gift. And it's, you can debate it, you can argue it, you can wrestle with it, you can write a book on it, you can have a debate on it. But in the end, God said, not changing my mind. Sorry, not changing my mind. It's yours. It's yours. I raised Jesus from the dead. You're raised. You'll always be raised. Jesus is a forerunner of what God is giving us. An example of what God gives us. And then in chapter 9, it's a word that we don't use very often, but it's a powerful word, and I'm not sure how to completely define it. But verse 16 of Romans 9 says, it does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Meaning, do I have to go out and earn all these gifts? No. You can try, but you lessen the gift. It's the receiving of the gift. Why? Because God's personality is mercy. It's mercy. We may deserve something, but the judge says, no, mercy. Mercy. The great, great gift. And then in chapter 10 and verse 4, he talks about how some of these gifts are available to everyone. So in chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for who? Everyone who believes. It's believing in the gift that we receive. And then in chapter 11, and I love this. I don't know if you've ever been to an old-time revival. They used to be done in tents, and there'd be great singers and everything else like this. And sometimes those preachers were great showmen. I'm not being critical of that. But they could really do a dance while they're preaching and sing a song while they're preaching. And they can really praise God up sometimes when they're preaching. They're preaching a sermon and they just have to stop and then do a little praise and then get back to the preaching again. If you've ever been to one, it's pretty amazing. And this is what Paul does. Paul will often be writing and all of a sudden he's just got to stop. He's got to do a little dance. He just has to do this praise to God. So he's writing all these powerful, powerful things, and he's just finishing commenting on all Israel himself being an Israelite and wanting all Israel to be saved, wanting all Israel to be saved, and then he has to stop and have a little praise. So here it is in chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. And you can hear Paul saying this out loud. There are exclamation points everywhere. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And I'm not sure how we do that. Maybe doing what Paul did. But I like the story, how we finished last week, of a little girl coming to a minister whom she liked. She created this beautiful gift for him, this little pendant, and she wanted to give it to him, and he received it. And he said, for me? You made this for me? And she said, yes. And he looked at that and he said, this is beautiful. I'm going to put this in a place in my office where I will see it every single day. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to remember you because of that gift. And someday, maybe down the road when you're a bit older, we'll meet again. This is precious. Thank you. That's a girl who gave a gift and received the gift of thankfulness because of the gift. How does God feel when we say no to his gifts? And how does God feel when we say, wow, thank you. I will honor you and remember you because of this gift for the rest of my life. And I can't wait to be with you forever and ever and ever. New heaven and new earth. Another marvelous gift. And then in chapter 13, we're almost done, he talks about this continuing gift of love. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love. None of us like to be in debt, but many of us are, and we have a continuing debt of love for one another. So we always want to be fulfilling that gift, because whoever loves others is fulfilling that gift. And then in chapter 14, I think this is one of the least known passages in Romans, but it's one of the most powerful passages in Romans. It says this, For we do not live for ourselves. This is Romans 14, 7 and 8. Romans 14, 7 and 8. For we do not live for ourselves alone. Stop. Really? How many of us believe we do? We live by ourselves, alone. I'd rather be alone. Just leave me alone. I live alone. Paul says, well, even if you feel that way, you don't. Sorry, you don't. Here's what he says. For we do not live to ourselves alone, and we do not die to ourselves alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or we die, I want to say this out loud with me, we belong to the Lord. God said, I will be with you how often? Always. Always, always. Always. Life and death, I am always with you. And when you die, you're with me. Always with you. And then in chapter 15, this is something, a gift that many of us need. I need this. This is what I would call the gift of patience. We who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. And I suppose none of us ever feel like we're strong enough. We probably put ourselves in the weak. I need the strong to help the weak. But there are times because people have helped us that we can help others. Does that make sense? It's not because we're so great in the Lord. It's because God has helped us. Others have helped us. And so we can come alongside others and help them. And then the last thing I want to share is in chapter 16 and verses 25 and 27. Sometimes at the end of the books, we go over them a bit too quickly. And there's just a phrase that I'd like us to notice, and I'll finish with this. Chapter 16, 25 through 27. Now to him, meaning God himself, who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known to the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to faith and obedience. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if that does anything to you, but the first part does something for me. Now to him who is able to establish you. Establish you. So we begin a career and we fumble and we struggle and we make mistakes. We put our foot in it. Am I ever going to do well in this career that I've chosen? And because we try and we try and we try, but now we realize because of the gifts God gives us, that as a Christian, and as we grow and mature, sanctification, not only in our occupations, but in our spiritual life, it is God who establishes us. We can take the credit for it if we want, whether whatever occupation you have. But I prefer to think of the fact that if we grow even in our occupations, it's because God has established us. I will bless you in your ministry, whatever your occupation is, to bless others. The gifts of God. Amen. Let's pray. So God, we come to you today thanking you again and again and again, and probably for the rest of our life, thanking you for the gifts you give us. And we know we've just touched on a few. But most importantly, most importantly, the gift of you, the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for these gifts. May we honor you by receiving the gifts and sharing them with others. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.